Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Matthew 7, 1 to 12. Before I dive into the text this morning, it's helpful for us to know where we're at in the Gospel of Matthew. In the past few weeks, we have been in a section of the Gospel of Matthew called the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus gives his first sermon to his followers. And in the past few weeks, we've been unpacking that. And from Matthew 5:17 onwards, we have been in the body of the Sermon on the Mount, dealing with the relationship to God's law and relation to spirituality, which Pastor Ed brought us through the Lord's Prayer across our three centers. And last week, Pastor Sharon, who was here, brought you through kingdom riches. And finally, today we will be concluding the main body of the Sermon on the Mount, dealing with regards to relationships, kingdom relationships. That's what we're going to see this morning with regards to greater righteousness in the different aspects of our life. And so that's where we're at. And in this morning, we're going to look at two fundamentals in order for us to live out kingdom relationships. The first is that we are called to discern rightly with others. And secondly, we are called to depend relentlessly on God. These are the two fundamentals that we come to explore from the text this morning. So let's jump right into the first fundamental that we learn from the text, which is discerning rightly with others. Shall we read the text today together from verses 1 to 6 first? Shall we do so? Ready? 1, 2, go. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. The word of the Lord. And so this is what we're going to look at for the first part. And many people actually recognize and know these first two verses. In fact, these two verses are actually not just known and understood by Christians, but they are actually widely remembered by those who are not Christians. Every time when someone knows that you are a believer, and the moment where they do something that is not really quote-unquote right, and then say, don't judge me, you Christian, right? You cannot judge me, because your Bible says, cannot judge, so don't judge me, okay? So we often hear people saying that, even non-believers quoting that, the second most popular verse after John 3:16. It really is. People know this. I don't know how, but they know this verse. And so that's something that we come to recognize, and we need to ask a question. What is Jesus saying here when he says, do not judge? Because the world views judging people in a particular way. We often see judging in a negative light. We often see it as purely condemning someone. The world sees judging as condemning someone. When we look at social movements in our recent time and day, movements like cancel culture, where people will publicly shame, ostracize, criticize them on public spaces to let them know of their disapproval. But in more recent times, in this past year, there's this new social movement called We Listen and We Don't Judge. It's a trend on TikTok and Instagram where people will post videos of themselves. And it's usually it's like almost like a confession of doing things that are usually not the norm. And the aim of this whole concept of we listen and we don't judge is we The viewers who are watching the video are aimed to listen empathetically and to withhold judgment. So these are some of the social movements that we see happening in our world and how they understand judging others. It's purely and focused on condemning someone. But what does the scripture say? What does Jesus mean when he says, "Judge not that you be not judged"? I like what Grant Osborne has to say about this. He says, it means looking down on a person with a superior attitude, criticizing or condemning them without a loving concern. The key component is the absence of love. The key component is the absence of love. When Jesus says, judge not or be judged, he's talking about how the people of God, when they go about their interactions and relating to others, there is this, he says, do not have this superior attitude. And you know how this whole concept of superior attitude, it's this common phrase that a lot of non-Christians, they often say, don't give me the holier-than-thou attitude. You often hear and people say and comment, don't give me the holier-than-thou attitude just because you're a Christian. And that's the kind of signaling that sometimes Christians give to those who are not in the space. And I think Grant Osborne got it right to say that the key thing here is the absence of love. When we comment, when we respond to someone, it's clear when we know that it's a form of judging someone when there is an absence of love. You know, this is so prevalent in our day. I'm sure you have your own experiences. My wife is an entrepreneur. She's an entrepreneur, and one of the businesses that she owns is a CrossFit gym. In the CrossFit gym, it's been a privilege to meet different members of the gym for the past few years. And one of the things I noticed about these different members that are part of a CrossFit gym is that they have something in common. And this something in common is that they were actually fervent Christians. Quite a number of them were fervent Christians who were serving the Lord, leading in different areas of their own churches. But somehow along the way, they were hurt by the church, either by their own community or the leaders of the church. And the reason why is because a lot of them have been hurt by the judgment they received, either felt intentionally or unintentionally. They felt judged, they felt criticized. And in some cases, when I found out, some cases were even worse. When they were criticized or condemned for something they did, the most outrageous thing was that the people who were doing the condemning were people who were doing it themselves. So can you imagine the level and the depth of hurt that these people received as a result of this hypocrisy, of this judgmental spirit that they had? You know, CNA recently did an article, interviewed some of them on this article, and they titled the article, "Finding Faith in Fitness, When Gyms Offer More Than Just a Workout." So they interviewed the CrossFit gym, and they wanted to find out, what is this boom? Ever since COVID, there are more and more people wanting to stay fit and healthy, and in particular, group classes. And one of the things that they did was that they realized that a lot of gyms like F45, BFT, Revel Division, and CrossFit gyms, people like to go for group classes. They like to go for group classes, and they wanted to find out why. And they found a common denominator. You want to guess what the common denominator is? It's this sense where people feel that they can be themselves, where they feel accepted, where they don't feel like they are being judged. That's the reason why people like to go for group classes, because they can be in a community where they can be themselves and be accepted. They interviewed someone from the gym, one of the members, and this is what she says. She saw the gym as a place of a safe haven, free of judgment, all criticism. Can you see this? And that's the reason why we see more and more fitness communities having this pseudo church kind of feel community. Because fundamentally, people desire to be in a space where they are accepted, where they feel belong, where they feel that they can be themselves. And that's what Jesus says here. That's the reason why he says, do not judge or be judged, because there's this fundamental problem and issue when we do that, that relationships will be strained as a result of this judgmental spirit, when there is this absence of love. And so when Jesus says here, the idea of judging here in the scriptures, if we go back real quick, the word used here is krino. Krino is the word used here, but there are several meanings to the word krino. But oftentimes it's just translated as judging. But in this particular context, in this passage, the idea of krino is the idea of discerning or evaluating rightly. Discerning or evaluating rightly. That's the kind of judging that God is calling you and I to do. To do not judge unfairly. That's what Jesus is saying here. And so after talking about the first two verses, which sets up the whole passage, Jesus then goes on to say, what does it mean to discern rightly with each other in the community of faith and outside of the community of faith? So if we look at verse 3 to 5, we see Jesus using this imagery and analogy of this speck and log. He says, why do you look at a speck in your brother or sister's eye when there is a log in your own eye? And Jesus calls people who do that, this strong term that he uses, called hypocrite. In verse 5, he says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. This term hypocrite is only used once in the entire book of Matthew, and it's found here in Matthew 7, 1 verse 5. And when Jesus uses the word hypocrite throughout the Gospels, you will see that he often associates with a particular group of people. Hypocrites were reserved to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus was indignant when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees because what they portray on the outside does not reflect who they are on the inside. And that's the reason why Jesus says, before you take a step at responding, of trying to condemn someone, first look at yourself. Take a good look and examine your own heart before you do so of another person. And so the word hypocrite here is this word hypocrites, and it simply means there is an inconsistency with what is on the inside and seen on the outside. There is an inconsistency. There is a lack of wholeness, if you like, between the person's inside and outside. That's what Jesus is saying here. Do not be someone who is inconsistent. You know, I love what Jonathan Pennington had to say with regards to the whole concept of being a hypocrite. He says this, righteousness requires consistency between one's inner person and one's outer actions. Discerning the state of another without first examining one's own heart is a dangerous and deadly business, precisely because it is a kind of doubleness. Do you see what Jesus is saying here with regards to the whole hypocrisy of seeing the speck in a person's eyes instead of seeing our own log in our own eyes first? That's the kind of weight that Jesus says, before you even think about casting a judgment on the other, first look and examine yourself. And so when we come to dealing with discerning rightly with others, Jesus first says we need to first look inwards. We need to look inwards at ourselves. We need to examine our own hearts. That's the first thing that comes to understanding about kingdom relationship. We need to first look inwards at our own heart. And you know, sometimes all of us here, including myself, we all have our own inconsistencies. And that's because we are all work in progress. We're all work in progress. And there are some questions that will help us in our own journey to self-examine ourselves of where we are at. And so I came up with some questions to help us to do some self-examination from time to time. So some questions like, do I forgive the way I have been forgiven? Do I love people or just appear to do so? Do my private life match my public life? How do I respond to corrections from others? And finally, if someone followed me for 1 week and watched everything I did, would they see Jesus in me? These are some questions that we need to look firstly at ourselves. And the moment where we start doing some reflection of ourselves, where we start to look inward in the sense of examining our hearts, then the posture and how we respond to those, to others, will be completely different because we come to recognize that we are all in need of the grace and mercy of the Lord. That's what Jesus is saying here. When we try to judge the other, when we try to condemn the other, there is the absence of love. But when we look at our own lives, we begin to realize that we all are in need of the grace and mercy of the Lord. So when it comes to discerning rightly with others, Jesus first says we must look inwards towards and examine our own hearts. He goes then in verse 6, not just to talk about the spiritual community, he then goes on to talk about the spiritual community outside. In verse 6, he says this, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." Now you may be wondering, what in the world do they mean when they say talk about these dogs, pigs? Now, let's be mindful that as we talk about the Gospel of Matthew, who is the audience? The Jews. The Jews were the primary audience to the Gospel of Matthew. And because of that, particular phrases and understandings were already assumed. And so dogs and pigs, how many of you remember what we learned in Leviticus? Show of hands. No one? Leviticus is so important, especially when it comes to understanding the Gospels in the New Testament. One of the things that we learn about in Leviticus is how there are clean and unclean animals. And the category of unclean animals, the dogs and pigs, are part of the unclean animals. Basically, they are unable to come and approach God. And so what Matthew is saying here, or what Jesus is saying here in Matthew, is that there will be people who are not part of the faith yet. And Jesus is saying, do not give these people what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before them. The pearls and the holy here refers to the wisdom of God, the truth of God. But he qualifies this. He says, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. What Jesus is saying here is that there are some who will be outrightly oppressive towards the gospel. There will be people who will be outrightly persecuting those Christians. And he says, be mindful, be wary. Now, does it mean that we don't continue to reach out to our non-believing friends and family? Does it mean that? No, Jesus is not saying do not reach out to your friends and family. Jesus says, please do so because that's the Great Commission. But what Jesus is saying here is that you need to have some wisdom. You need to have some discernment in who, in what, in how you go about sharing the gospel, because there will be some people who are not yet ready to receive the truth of God. And sometimes God needs time to soften their hearts. And Jesus says here that if there are people who are unresponsive, non-receptive towards the gospel, Jesus says, it's okay. Carry on. Carry on and allow me to continue the work. And when the time is right, that God will grant us the wisdom, the discernment on how, on what to say to them. That's what Jesus is saying here. That we need to be mindful. We need the wisdom of God in how we relate to those who get to know the Lord. So that's the first part that we come to learn about discerning rightly with each other. Jesus says we must first look inwards. We need to examine our own hearts. That's the first thing that we come to learn from the passage of Scripture here in the first six verses. The second thing that we come to learn is not just to discern rightly with others, but learn how to depend relentlessly on God. Notice what verse 7 and 8 says. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Jesus moves from relationship with each other horizontally, and then now he moves towards talking about those vertically. That means people and God. So he moves from that to now focusing on God. And Jesus uses three important action verbs. And the three action verbs are to ask, to seek, and to knock. These are present continuous verbs. And what this means is that Jesus is saying here, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. That's what Jesus is saying here. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Why? Because Jesus tells us in verse 8 that as we do so, that we shall receive, that we shall find, and that we shall find the door itself to be open. This is what Jesus said. He encourages those who are part of the faith to keep seeking the Lord, asking the Lord. And the idea of asking, seeking, knocking here is the idea of prayer. The way we ask the Lord, to seek the Lord, and knock on the door of the Lord is through the means of prayer. And Jesus says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, because the Lord will answer in His perfect timing. But the more important thing is that in verses 9 to 11, Jesus tells us and He shows us what exactly the reason why is the case. Verse 9 to 11 says, "Of which of one of you, if his son asks for a bread, will give a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Jesus is saying here, if the human parents are able to give good gifts, good things to their earthly children, how much more your perfect Heavenly Father who knows how to love you fully, wholeheartedly. And that's the reason why we are able to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Not because we are persistent, but the reason why it's found in verse 11 is because of our relationship that we have with God. That is one between a father and a son. It's because of this unique relationship that we are able to come before the Lord and present our concerns, our prayer requests. You know, the Bible tells us here, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God." And that's something to which is offered to any and everyone who choose to put their faith in God. And most of you here who are seated, you have put your faith in Jesus. And because of that, we collectively are children of God. And this is something that we can trust the sayings of Jesus, that we can truly keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because we have a Heavenly Father who gives good things to those who ask Him. The call to depend relentlessly. Can you see the relentless nature of what Jesus is saying here? Keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. It's this relentless pursuit of God. And we pursue God not because of what we want, but we pursue God because we know and we recognize the nature and the character of who God is. Because the nature of God is one who is faithful, who is just, who is loving and good. That's the reason why we can go back to depend relentlessly on God. You know, every time after service, we usually have people come forward to be prayed for. 3 weeks ago in Woodland, a lady came forward and she said, "Pastor, I need some prayer." She said, "For 1 month, I have been having this injury on my foot. 1 month, I had this injury on my foot, and somehow I didn't ask the Lord to actually heal me. I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't ask Him to heal my foot. I don't know. But today, this morning, I felt the Lord say, why don't you ask for prayer? Why don't you ask for prayer and ask the Lord to heal you?" And so she came forward, and we prayed together. And I simply prayed for her, and I said, "Lord, would you not just heal her, but more importantly, help her to deepen her faith and dependence on you. To help her to recognize that not just in the big things in life, but in the small things, that she can learn how to depend even more on you. Because you are a father who loves her so, so much." And so we prayed and she left. And so I checked in with her last week. And she sent me a text on Monday, and she said this: "Thank you for your prayers, Pastor Tim. On Saturday, I completed a 6 km run using the run-walk method, and my foot did not hurt. Every day, I feel my ankle able to perform a slightly wider range of motion. I'm very grateful to our faithful God who heard and answered our prayer." I share this because sometimes in our lives, we think that God is too busy to deal with our small requests. Sometimes we think that only the big things that I come to the Lord to ask for prayer. The small things, I'll just go see the doctor, deal on my own, sort it out by myself. But through this interaction that I had with this lady, it made me realize how even in the small things in life that God is concerned, that God cares for you, amen? And so as we look at this quote, I like this quote from Matt Smithers from this podcast. He says this: "Prayer is the most objective measurement of our dependence on God. Because the things we pray about are the things we trust God to handle. And the things we don't pray about are the things we trust we can handle on our own." Let's pause for a second. Let's digest and think about this quote. The things we pray about are the things we trust God to handle. The things we don't pray about are the things we trust we can handle on our own. This morning, there may be things in your life that you feel, "I can handle on my own. Don't need God. Don't disturb Him." But as we come to recognize it, it's not so much about your ability to handle things in life. It's about a dependency that God calls you and I to. A greater dependency, a relentless dependence on Him in not just the big things, but also the small things in life. Because the objective isn't to complete and to be able to settle and handle our things. The objective is really to trust and to grow in our knowledge in who God is as our Heavenly Father. Because when we choose to do so, we move away from the realm of the natural and we step into the supernatural and we begin to see God move in ways that we can't even think or imagine. That's the reason why Jesus calls us to depend relentlessly on God. Finally, as we look at the end of the text, we see how Jesus concludes the body of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7:12, it says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now, I put up Matthew 5:17 for us because we realize how Jesus, in His main body of the Sermon on the Mount, begins with how He says He has not come to abolish the law and the prophet, but came to fulfill it. And Jesus concludes the main body of the Sermon on the Mount saying, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. As we see in the other portions of Scripture, we see and we know what is the greatest commandment. It's to love your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two, they hang on the law and the prophet. We see at the start how Jesus starts with asking us to look inwards. To look inwards and examine our own hearts. To discern rightly with others. Then he asks us to move on to say to depend relentlessly on him. Not just to look inwards, to look upwards. And finally, as he concludes Matthew 7:12, he then says, don't just look inwards to examine yourself. Don't just look upwards to look at God. But finally, I want you to look outwards. Look outwards at other, because the expression of one who is living out kingdom relationship is not just examining of oneself. It's not just looking and depending on God, but one that is looking outwards to look at those around them, to see how they can be of that golden rule, if you like, to them. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's a call to inward, upward, and outward focus. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kind of kingdom relationship that Jesus calls us to. This morning, as you come to church on Palm Sunday, different ones of you are in different seasons of your life. Some who are busy with children, young kids, some who are retired, some who are just swamped with work. In whatever areas of seasons of life that you are in this morning, the Lord reminds us from the Scriptures that as we deal with what it means to be people of the kingdom, that there are particular relationships in our lives. Strained relationships that you may have. People that you feel that have offended you, that have wronged you. And this morning, the Lord says, before we think about the wrong that the person has done to us, to you, Jesus says, would you first come and examine your heart? Would you first come and examine yourself, because there are wrongs that you yourself have done before we make the statements of how people have wronged us, we first looked at ourselves. Because there are wrongs to which we ourselves have done. This morning, Jesus says, I want you to first look inwards. Examine your own heart, your own life. And the moment we are able to do so, then when we look at the person or the people that have wronged us, the way we respond, the way we look at them is radically different. Because now there's no absence of love. We begin to realize that we all are in need of the grace and mercy of the Lord. And so this morning, I know many of you here, some of you come from different churches and you have settled in Covenant, and you see Covenant as a space to rest, to recuperate. And the Lord impressed upon me this morning that there are some of you here who have unresolved relational strains, either with people from your previous church or even within here in Covenant EFC, that the Lord this morning says, I want you to deal with these. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no space for condemnation. There's only space for us to extend the grace to which we first have received. And so I want us to take some time right now, that as you reflect on the relationships that you have in your own life, whether in church or outside of church, as I invite the worship team up, there may be several strains that you have in your family, in your work front, in the church, in the CG. And God may be impressing upon you a particular relationship that you know is strained and there's no way that you can resolve it. This morning, the Lord says, would you come and would you be willing to bring it before my feet? Bring it before me and trust that I am able to do the supernatural. And so whatever the Spirit of the living God impress upon you right now, whatever relationships that are strained, this morning the Lord says, would you bring them before me? Would you bring them before my feet? Will you be willing to discern rightly and depend relentlessly? Because this is what it means to be children of the kingdom of God. So as the worship team leads us in this response song, I want you to just take some time to allow the Lord to impress upon you whatever areas of your life that may be. And then I'll come back for a time of response.
You'd spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.